all of our hearts tonight. Luke chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 39. Beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out that mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I just want to pause there for a moment. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. We point out this morning, there is none good but one, and that is God. If it's good in the heart, it's because we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So if it's good, it's the Lord bringing that work through us. It is not us. And he tells us about an evil man, the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We hear a lot today, and it bothers me a great deal, that we shouldn't judge one another. And I want to say this carefully. We need to be careful in judging one another. Notice the Lord throughout this whole chapter in Luke is dealing with the issue of hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't go to cast something out of your brother's eye that's true in yours, in your own life. You deal with the sin in your own life first and then seek to help your brother. Oh, how careful we need to be. Not only in judging, but how do we receive the judgment that other brothers and sisters make of us? Doesn't the Word of God say that those that we listen to ministering the Word of God, we should listen to what they say, go home and see if those things are true? That sounds like judgment to me, doesn't it to you? Judge. Are those things true? John chapter 7, the Lord makes a very interesting comment in John 7, verse 24. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Did you hear that? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And the final reading tonight is in Galatians chapter 6. We'll read at verse 5, verse 25 for context. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. One of the most precious things that came as a result of the Lord Jesus dealing with sin, and we remember what he said in John chapter 17 in his prayer, Father, that they may be what? One. Even as we are one. Brethren, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have a small picture of it in our homes, don't we? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that picture is carried on right into the assembly. Christ loved the church. The Lord Jesus wants us to love one another. I love my wife, and she loves me. She doesn't always agree with me. Does yours? I'm glad I don't have a wife that just says, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because she wouldn't be a helpmeet to me if she did that. Sometimes she says, Keith, I don't really believe that's what the Lord would have us do. When she says it like that, my ears perk up. How do your ears react to that? Not just with your wife or your family, but how do we react with one another when a brother or sister takes their time to come and speak to us like that? We live in a world when it's so easy just to leave. Honey, I thought I loved you. Goodbye. I can't take it anymore. Brother, I didn't like the way you said that to me. Bye. Don't we live in a world like that? It's so easy to leave. It's hard to stay in there and work it out, isn't it? That's what the Lord wants us to do. And he's given us the grace and the spirit in order for us to do that. Some of my best helps were from older men that came to me. My grandfather was one of them. He didn't always come to me in what I perceived to be love. I remember one time, the Lord's Supper, I think I mentioned this the last time. We talked about the Lord's Supper. He came to me and said, why is it that none of you younger men ever give thanks for the emblems? That's the way he put it to me, about like that. I said, Granddad, I just don't feel worthy. I saw his eyes immediately well up with tears, and he said, I'm no worthier than you are. You've been made worthy. It's good for iron to sharpen iron. Now, that's not a pleasant experience, is it? You know, that rubbing and watching that iron heat up. Sometimes we get heated up with one another, don't we? But what's God doing in it? He's trying to get off the rough edges, isn't he? The gold, he puts it through the fire to get rid of the dross. And he will do that in our lives, both yours and mine. We have to be careful in love one to another how we judge. One of the most difficult situations in the church to judge today is divorce. Because really, no one knows what happened in that home, do you? Only the Lord, that man and that woman know what happened. There's some things we do not know. The Lord said, if you're going to judge, judge how? Righteously. Well, if I'm going to judge righteously, I need to know the whole situation, don't I? And brothers and sisters, we do not know sometimes the whole situation. Telling Brother John this morning, years ago, my own cousin was put out of fellowship in a meeting because she got pregnant by one of the fellows in the meeting. And it took a number of years till her older brother told me what the situation was like at home with mom and dad for me to understand what happened with my own cousin. Sometimes the Lord teaches us down the road, doesn't he? Things that happen. One of the things that we read that God hates, you listening? One of the things that God hates is those that sow discord among the brethren. Why does he hate it so much? Because it costs so much to bring unity to the brethren. That's why he hates it. It's so easy to tear down the building, but it is hard work to build it up, isn't it? Every one of us has a different gift. Every one of us. God has given gifts. And we need to honor the fact that God gives different gifts to different brothers and sisters. And sometimes we may not think it's much of a gift at all. But we are His workmanship, His poem, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I don't understand always what the Lord is doing with you, your poem, and mine. But I know one thing. It's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives me the will to do what He wants me to do, and He gives me the ability to do it. That's a promise from Him. Years ago, I went with my two brothers to a symphony in Dade County, Florida. And we were sitting there watching this, and as we were watching this symphony, the Lord was speaking to my heart. There was one fella in the symphony that was very interesting to look at. He was a tall, lanky fella, and he had huge jugular veins. And you know what he was playing? Those big cymbals. And he was fun to watch because he'd be watching the music, and all of a sudden, you'd see his whole body tense up. And you'd see those jugular veins come out, and you'd see him, you know, and then he'd relax again. And he'd watch that music, and he'd watch him. He'd tense up again, and you knew, he was poised. And right at the right moment, and I was watching this scene, and the Lord said, you know who is that conductor? He said, I'm the conductor. You know that orchestra there? That's every one of the believers. You know what? I've given them all different gifts. Some of them are violin players. They're just faithful believers. Just playing, you know. We got some believers over here. They like to toot their own horn. Got some believers over in a drum. They make lots of noise. And I've got that believer that once in a while, at a critical moment, but when the Lord puts it together, it's a symphony. Do we appreciate that? And one another. Let's face it, if every brother was like me, we'd be in trouble. Or every sister, like you. We may be in trouble. God has given different gifts. Concerning judgment of discerning right from wrong, there's times even within our own families, is there not, that a family member might do something that is wrong. Does that mean that I don't love them anymore? No. Does that mean I should condone what they've done? No. Even with my own children, I try to discipline them the way God disciplines. There's a distance, isn't there? My son, I want you to realize, Daddy's not pleased right now. Dear daughter, Daddy's not happy with you. John speaks to us in his epistle. But the problem is, it's sin. It's unconfessed sin in my life or yours. The health of Myrtle Beach Chapel is dependent upon every believer's relationship to the Lord and whether or not there's sin in your life or not. The health of this assembly depends on that. The health of Columbia depends on ours. Two, where each assembly is autonomous. But there's a distance. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are forgiven, aren't we? God knew I was going to commit that sin, but yet there's still a distance. Because we're not walking in the light as He is in the light. There are times in my own family, and these are not things I enjoy. Do you enjoy doing that with your children, having that distance go to your room? You got that weighing on your heart? And it's weighing on their heart, too, until it's made right. And that's exactly what happens in assembly life, too. It should. We should be so careful, our judgments of one another. But in family as well as in assemblies, sometimes what the scripture said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes there can't be peace, right? The Lord said there can't be peace with the wicked. He tells us, brethren, if you're taken in certain sins, don't even eat with them, doesn't he? Let there be a severing fellowship. It's interesting, when we put people out of fellowship, quote unquote, I don't like that term, putting them out of fellowship. I'd like to say simply, they're already out of fellowship with the Lord. We're just recognizing it as an assembly. That man in Corinthians, you all should be mourning. He's lived with his stepmother. You all ought to be torn up about it. Turn him over to Satan. Why? Because you're mad at him? No. For the destruction of the flesh. That's what Paul said. Turn him over to the devil. If he wants the flesh, give it to him. And don't any of you have fellowship with him until he's learned his lesson. Sometimes we see Christians where assemblies have dealt with him, put him out of fellowship, and a bunch of Christians in that meeting will have him over to dinner. They're not going to learn that way. They're really not. But Paul also says, when that brother is truly repented of his sin, you bring him back. You be quick about it, too. Oh, to know our own weakness. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he that are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Remember that old adage, why don't you go walk in his shoes for a little while? Maybe you'd understand how life is. Sometimes we've seen the cruelest judgments from believers. I can honestly say when I was marrying Diane, as I was dating her, I got more grief from Christians than I got from the world. That's sad. We need to be careful. Dear brothers and sisters, restore such a one spirit of meekness. Remember, Paul speaks in Corinthians about suing one another and how evil that is. Money. So don't you know we're going to judge angels someday? We get along with one another. It's not, I'm saying this carefully, unity at any price. Be careful. It is not unity at any price. It's truth at any price. We need to be careful. The truth will bring unity if we're subject to the Lord. Notice what he said in that portion we read. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I say? That's what brings unity. We recognize there's one head of the body and that he's in control. Where you see these little bands now, what would Jesus do? I like to word it, what did Jesus do? That's a better. What did he do? So that's what I'm supposed to follow. Unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're living in a very selfish time. I'm not happy with you, so I'm leaving. I was living in Man of War for a while, and at the time there was a tremendous problem in the assembly. And it split the meeting right down the middle. One brother was going to leave, and I was talking to him. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you love your wife? Yes, I do. Have you ever had an argument with your wife? Yes, I have. Why didn't you leave her? Because I love her. And I said, oh. If I really love my brother and sister in Christ, I will not be so quick to run away. But I'll seek to hang in there and be a help to them with the help of the Lord. Sin in the assembly. We need accountability today. We really do. We need to be accountable to one another. So tremendous help for older men and younger men and older women and younger women to be honest and candid with one another, the struggles that we have. And ask for prayer in those areas of our life where we're struggling with sin. Bear ye one another's burdens. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Whatever you are and whatever I am, Paul said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. Sometimes the biggest problem amongst believers is we're living when we should be dead. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know that teaching the Lord gave in the Sermon on the Mount? If somebody hits you in the cheek, turn the other one. Hit that one too. If I laid you down on the floor and you were dead, and I came and hit one side of your head as hard as I could, guess what? You would turn the other cheek. We need to die. Does it matter what my brother said about me or my sister? You see, I'm dead. It doesn't matter. My dad was telling me about a brother years ago. Somebody wrote him a letter and said, "Dear brother so-and-so, these are the things that several of the believers have said about you. What's your response?" He got a letter back a week later. It had the brother's signature. That was it. And underneath of that had these words, "Died 1,900 years ago." Not about you and me. We're dead. We died a long time ago. We're here, every one of us. Why? To glorify the name by which we've been called. It doesn't matter. It does matter whether we're living in sin. It does. We should not condone it in ourselves or in one another. Should we forgive? Absolutely. You know what? There's things in my own family that have happened that I haven't been happy with. Forgiven? Yes. But does that mean you go in fellowship with a brother that just trampled over you? We need to be careful. There's lessons to be learned in life. When was the last time you said, "I'm sorry"? Even to your loved ones. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. When was the last time you said that? When was the last time you said to a brother or sister you may have offended, "I'm sorry. I was wrong"? These things are so important if we're going to maintain the unity amongst the brethren. We don't come to get, we come to give. There was a brother down in Key West years ago. He would stand at the door and he'd welcome people. This is how he welcomed them. "Good morning. So glad to have you at the assembly this morning. I know you're new. I just want to tell you something. If you came here to find love, you're not going to find any. But if you came to give love, you'll find love." I would say that's putting it right down where the brass tacks are. Right from square one. That's important, isn't it? So often we come even to the Lord's Supper. What's the Lord going to give me this morning? I'm here to give to Him. And I'm here to minister to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I wonder what the health of Myrtle Beach Assembly would be if every brother and sister was trying to outdo each other in serving one another. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And then he says, for I say unto every one of you, the grace given unto me, to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Sometimes we do verses 1 and 2. I've arrived. I'm not conformed to the world anymore. I've given myself as a sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And Paul right away says, you know what the problem's going to be there? Pride is going to come in. Don't any of you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Well, how highly of myself ought I to think? God thought so highly of me, nailed me to the cross over 1,900 years ago. He loves me. That's what he knew I needed. And that's what he knew you needed. Well, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing himself alone. Sometimes all we do is look at one another, say, what's that other brother doing? Go look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? That old spiritual, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, O Lord. Stand in the need of prayer. We need to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing for Christ? Not what have I done. Sometimes we look at the past. What am I doing for Christ and for his own? How does the Lord judge love in us? You remember? Can a man say that he loves God and hate his brother? God says, you say you love me? To love your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how you show. By this shall all men know that you are my followers. You are my disciples. How? If, it's a big if, you have love, one or the other. Unity in the church. Oh, how we long to see it today. Do you pray about it? Do I pray about it for our own assemblies? Lord, if you might bring a real unity amongst thy people by thy Spirit, that we may love one another, that the world will see it. If all of us loved each other like we ought to, you'd have people busting in those doors to get what you have. They want love too, God's love. And they'll see it in us and want what we have. It's a very frightening thing to me today to think that I could get up here and say something that may be wrong and no believer would say anything to me about it. We need to judge one another. There's scriptural grounds for judging what men say. There's an assembly in Waynesboro, Georgia, and they were split over these five words. I'm going to say them tonight, and I want to ask you, would you talk to me after the meeting if I were to say this casually in a message? You can lose your salvation. Would you talk to me about that after the meeting? So often we would jump on somebody because of an immoral issue. And so seldom will we jump on things that are attacking the person and work of the Lord Jesus. I just said five words that attacked the person and work of the Lord Jesus so directly, every one of you should be talking to me after the meeting about it. Corinthians was bad flesh, wasn't it? Immorality permeated that church. We don't read of a curse till the very end of Corinthians. It says this, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha. But when we turn to the book of Galatians, which is good flesh, Paul says twice over by the Spirit of God in the first chapter, if I, an angel, or any other creature, preach any other gospel to you than what's been delivered unto you, let him be accursed. You see, the Galatians were adding to the work of Christ. Oh, it's not enough just to trust in Christ. You have to be circumcised. Paul said, that's accursed. He didn't talk like that in Corinthians. And oh, how we need to be careful of things that attack the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, Jeroboam, God cursed that king. You know why? He changed three things. He changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Bethel and Dan. Let's make it easy on the people. He changed the time. Let's not bring the first fruit of harvest. Bring whatever you have. And he changed who could worship from the Levites to anybody could be a priest. And God said to him, Jeroboam, I told you that if you would just walk in my ways and obey my word, I would make you and your children kings forever. But you're not going to die a normal death, and none of your children are either. If you die inside, the dogs are going to eat you. And if they die outside, the birds are going to eat you. 300 years after Jeroboam was dead, the Lord said about other kings,